Blog Talk Radio.
Direction. Get ready for that door to close to open up for you
ready for whatever going on for things to be all right. I got some good news for you. I got some news to tell you that God is still in control. I want to tell you that God will make things work and let go and let God in. With all you need, God got what you want. God got what you need. And when you get ready to let God in, there's some doors going to be opened up for you. There's some doors going to be blessed. I want to let you know God is able to give you what you want right now. You know, this is the first Sunday in the month of May. We didn't have 200 shootings and killings here in America. And I want to tell you that even in Texas, down yesterday in Texas, at a mall, the man shot 8 people. To be a police officer in the neighborhood and they shot and killed a man. We got to stop killing each other. We got to deal with trying to make things work for us. Now, 200 people in Congress haven't said anything about doing something about the assault weapon and these guns. And they still saying we're going to pray. Prayer is all right, but it's got to be some hands-on to say, stop the making of these guns, stop the selling of these guns, all of them, because it's killing our young folks. And then the mental problem, the people that messed up in their mind got guns, they shoot anybody, old and young. So we got a problem going into May with mass shooting and murder been going on the winter, but it's still going on. But I want to say to you, all is well. Get ready for a breakthrough. Get ready for God to do something for you. You know, I'm going to have Sister Pearl from Detroit, Sister Pearl Williams from Detroit, a woman of God, been there, did that. And she was telling me, and Bishop Gate Mouth Mo sung a song, Boogie Woogie Woogie. He's the Boogie Woogie Master. I had to call Pearl and ask her what that means, because you can dance go with that. Going into next month, next week, I'm going to put it on TikTok. And you'll see me doing it on TikTok. So I got to get together with some of the techniques and show me how to put it on TikTok. I'm going to do that. And that Gate Mouth wrote that Boogie Woogie Woogie. And it's an old slavery song. It's got a lot to do with slavery. I want to let you know, if you got a need to have a ministry this year, plant a seed. Go to my website, thefeedofabrahamyourfaith.com, PayPal, and then it'll come up. And, you know, you can go to it. And PayPal will come up and you just send your donation. I want everybody listening this morning to send a donation or plant a seed in the ministry. And I want you to do it out of the spirit of you plant the seed for growth. Go to Bishop T.T. Cash Out and you can send it. Right now for the show, go up. You can send it. I want you to do that. And let me pray. Father God, we come at this hour. God, we ask you to bless those that's going to receive, those that already plant their seed in the ground. They're looking for a harvest. And this morning, I decree a harvest for every letter, every telephone call. I decree a miracle being released in their house. On their job. I decree right now, I decree a miracle breaking through with their family. Set back for a comeback. I decree they're back with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I'm asking you right now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, to go in and touch and heal men and women that are crossed up and messed up, those that are on dope, alcohol, and drugs. Those that in denial that they alcoholic. They in denial they on dope and crack. I plead the blood of Jesus alone, our ancestors. I say, our ancestors. Get ready for the seventh to be a situation for you to be better. Get ready for your healing, your deliverance, your breakthrough. Whatever you need, you get ready for it. And for 15 minutes, we're going to motivate you. We're going to stimulate you. We're going to take you to the next level. Buckle your belt up. If you don't put your seat belts on, buckle them up. Because I'm going to take you to a level of body, mind, soul, and spirit. I'm going to take you to a level where you'll be able to understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him perish this morning, but have everlasting life. You ask not because you have not. And this morning, it's time for you to begin to reach out for God to touch you. It's time for you to have information on truth. You've been running on faith. I got a bucket, a foot to a bucket of truth. And once you deal with truth, you don't need faith, because truth going to bring faith, but truth going to bring reality. You don't need no hope. It's the truth. When you know what you know, you ain't got to wish for it. You ain't got to hope for it. You ain't got to imagine it for it. You know it worked because you done seen it work. You done seen the sun rise from the east and set in the west. You done seen that. You ain't got to have nobody have faith it's going to happen. You done seen it happen, and it happened over and over and over and over and over. So I want to let you know this morning, whatever you see, God getting ready to give you a harvest that your heart cannot hold. You messing with your mind. I prayed crazy the other day, and a daughter said, my mama got dementia. We put a prayer cloth around that woman's head. That woman wore that prayer cloth for 3 days, and she could go back and tell what happened when you was a little bitty girl. Don't tell me this morning that God don't heal. Don't tell me this morning God don't break yoke. Don't tell me this morning the ancestors, I say. So whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, I want you not to trust in bishop, trust in God. Trust in the wind, the water, and God will bless you. Some of you holding stuff from when you was a child. You're holding stuff about your husband. You're holding stuff about your wife. Let that stuff go and move to the next level. Move jealousy out the way. Move hate out the way. And get ready to say, I'm going to plead the blood of the Almighty God. You know, we do spit rum. You know, we spit rum to the ancestors, I say. As we spit that rum to the ancestor, they come. Yeah, we spit rum to the ancestors, east, west, north, and south. They come. See, since ceremonies going in Christianity, we just don't do, but we know better. And when you learn to be taught, you're going to do better. You know, when you call, all you got to say is love, peace, and joy. Stop saying hello and say peace, love, and joy. The seven wonders of the world, the seven mystic spirits, the seven archangels, that seven worked all the way through. The man called me today. He said, Bishop, seven in the lottery is filled up. Everybody playing seven. I said, he said, sevens have mystery. Seven angels came down. Seven angels covered the water. Seven angels walked with God. Seven angels walked with Jesus. Seven angels came and opened up the tomb. That seven is serious. That seven. In all thy ways is not as God. He will direct your path. I want you to go. I asked Mary to read Psalm. Now I have to read the 27th number Psalm and the 7th verse. I think I told her last night to do that. Last night we read about the 27th number Psalm where God says, stand over your enemies. Go over them. You'll master them. Tonight, this is the full moon and it's the seventh. So things are happening quick, fast, and in a hurry. So you get ready to claim what God got for you. And what God got for you, the devil and hell can't steal. And what God got for you, it's going to be a blessing for you. All is well. Ashe, our ancestors. You know, last night, as we was in service last night, yeah, we was in service last night, 7 days a week, and we out calling our ancestors. And, you know, we spit rum to ancestors. Tell me y'all know what we're talking about. And then we sage the house. Y'all know what we're talking about. We didn't call it smudge, and we call it sage. And we're talking about go east, west, north, and south to the ancestors. They coming quick, fast, and in a hurry. Tell you something real good. They come to give you a message of healing and deliverance. That's just good. I'm going to have Mary Hawkins from Detroit, and she on the line right now. She's going to read the 27th number of Psalms down to the 7th verse from 1 to 7. Now, you lean on that 7th verse. That 7th verse is a divine message for you this month. Okay, Mary, you're going to read that now. That's Psalms 27. And she's from Detroit.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be comforted. One thing have I desired the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Amen. I just read 27 numbers, so 1 through 7.
Read that 7th verse one more time, just the 7th verse.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me.
When I cry with my voice, go ahead on.
Have mercy also upon me and answer
me. Have mercy upon me when I cry to God. When you call God this morning, you asking him, I say that, have mercy upon me, east, west, north, and south. This is the 7th verse. This is May, the 7th day. I'm talking about 7. This 7-7. Go ahead, read on.
When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart say unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Keep on.
I will seek the face of God, so God going to come into your vibration, man. Woman, God going to come in your vibration. I want to decree your healing right now. I want to decree that problem you've been having, all right? I want to decree that new job. I want to decree right now that new house, that new car. I decree the confusion in the family going to stop. I decree love and joy. Oh, yes, I decree it. Set back for a comeback on my way back. Bad, don't mess with me. I say, and Prophet Johnson always said, everything in divine order. Glory, hallelujah. That's Mary Hawkins, one of the Hawkins sisters. And last night, the Hawkins sister, Mary read the scripture, and the Hawkins sister sung the song. And boy, we had a time last night about 12 o'clock. Some of y'all go to bed at 12 o'clock. Some of you got drunk at 12 o'clock. And some of you so called up, you don't know when 12 o'clock comes. But 7 days a week, from 9 to 10 and from 10 to 11, we are screaming and we are talking about the word of the ancestors. We talk about growth, your new business. On Monday, King Movement. Tuesday, Crossover with the Ancestors. Wednesday, Divine Word. and Friday, $1 trillion flow. Where's the money at? I want you to give it. Matthew 6 and 33, Hebrew 11 and 1. I want you to get ready to read these scriptures I'm giving out. Psalms 91, Psalms 27, Psalms 119. Renee, I'm praying for you. Pastor Blue, thank you. I'm praying for you. Thank you for your donation, Pastor Blue. Pastor Blue, my donation all the way from Texas. Thank you. Sister Deborah Ann, I'm praying for you. I want to let you know, Joe, get ready for this money. Joe, I want you to see quick because I see big money coming your way. I'm talking to you. I see a new truck. I'm going and go to the store looking because by next year, you have that new truck. Glory, hallelujah. Get ready for a breakthrough. I'm excited what God's going to do in these few words from 9 to 10, what God's going to do for you. It's a word I want to give you. It's a prophecy I'm going to give you. I'm praying for you, you and you. I'm praying for Brother White. So he's coming to Chicago. He's down in Mississippi. I ain't hear from him, but he said he's coming and to the mayor inauguration. We're praying Proverbs 22 and 1, Proverbs 4 and 22. Get ready. Genesis 13, 2 and 3. I just want you to open up because some of you, God, financial covenant, okay? When I say God, financial covenant, God has already got an angel that take care of that. He's got a master Musa that become an angel of finance. Oh, hallelujah. Exodus 23:20. Let me say that. When I see Master Musa come to me with the wang, he said, Bishop, I'm an angel of finance. His name is Master Musa. That's and you, Exodus 23 and 20. The angel of finance.
Yeah, I told you, don't take them toys out.
The angel of finance. He's the angel of finance. The angel of finance right there. And that's what that do, the angel of finance. And he'll give you that quick credit. I'm going to Pearl right there in Detroit. Pearl Williams. And Pearl, good morning on this first Sunday. I want your testimony, and the people want to hear your testimony. You're on the air.
Giving honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to the Bishop and all the saints of God. I would just like to say that I was blessed this morning when I woke up, and the cover that I covered last night wasn't my whining cover. And I want to thank the Lord for everything that he do for me because it seems like I'm doing better and better every day. And I thank the Lord for it because if it wasn't for him, I couldn't make it because there's so many people came up with me. They is gone on. I don't know too many people that when I left from down south that is living now. If it is, it's about 3 or 4. And, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you, thank you for everything you're doing for me and for my family in the name of Jesus.
God bless you for that testimony, Mother Pearl Williams being testimony on this first Sunday. Maybe you got a testimony that you want to give. Praise one, I got about 5 minutes that I let you testify. Maybe you want to say something that, you know, people be asking me, when Mother Pearl going to testify? Mother Pearl testified today. This is first Sunday. And they used to have a song, I believe I testify where I got a chance. I believe I tell the world that God been good to me. He fed me and clothed me. And that song they used to sing down South Pearl, I believe I testify. They used to sing, then they used to sing another song. Y'all know, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier. They used to sing that in the church. They were beating wash pans and buckets and saying, I'm a soldier. People shouting all over the church. Somebody know what we're talking about. I'm going way deep south when this was going on. And they were singing, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. People were shouting and falling out. And they were singing that. I'm praying that this will open up a door for you. Now, this is what I want to say. If you got a need, this is the seven, plant that seed. The harvest on its way. You know, I think Pastor Blue all the way from Texas made call and made sure that her harvest was in the ground. I want you to plant a seed and put your harvest in the ground. Little or big, because whatever you ask God for, he's going to give it to you quick, fast, bam, and in a hurry. Go knowing, sowing, and flowing in the right direction. Whatever you need, God got. Whatever you want, God got. I was talking earlier to Prophet Lorraine. She said, I'm getting ready for some people to come. And I bless you, Prophet Lorraine, that everybody you see for them and their family, Ashe. So I just want to say that. I want to share something with you this morning. It's very dear and serious to me. Bright Star, God bless you. I talked to Bright Star this morning. She's on her way to a big meeting. And I want that meeting, Bright Star, to be very successful for you up in St. Paul, Minnesota. And Sam Harris, I'm praying for you, Sam. And Amilta Harris, I'm praying for you this morning. That Milton said, and I love what she said. When you call her, I'm trying to finance the world. And I want you, Milton, to keep financing the world. Because I want to pray to the world. I want the world to get here. When you call on the phone, she said, you're calling for finance. I want to finance the world. I never heard that. I laughed. I said, I want to know that you should be wanting to do something for the world. And she said she financed for the world. Now, this is what I want to say to you this morning. Get your pencil and paper. Get your coffee. I know that God's going to give you what you want. Ashe. Now, I want to tell you, Pastor Blue, we spit rum to the ancestors. Somebody know what I'm talking about. We spit rum, Mary, to the ancestors. If you don't know what I'm talking about, still having communion, we spit rum to the ancestors, and we smudge, and we bring the ancestor to us. I say we do that. But I want to say this morning, as we get ready to go into the preaching part of the service, because I want you to get this. I got a letter from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and the letter was to America. And Dr. King wrote a letter about the nuclear bomb that we got. He wrote a letter about homosexuality that's going on right now, that men want to be women and women want to be men. We have strayed away from the teaching of God. In this letter Dr. King wrote was people going to the moon. People can fly to New York, to California, got bombs hanging, and got in this letter, it blew my mind that Dr. King is talking about what's going on 2023 and 2024. He said, racism, America did everything, the richest country in the world, you still got people homeless. You still got people ain't seen a doctor. You still got people that are mentally ill. They need it. The richest country in the world, you still are leaning on violence, shooting and killing and murder. We are the richest country in the world. The letter talk about 2023, the Michael, the bombs and the mass wars, the rumors of wars where we haven't got together with the morals to love each other, to be together each other. He wrote this letter. He had a letter in the Birmingham jail, but he had a letter to Americans. This letter is addressed to Americans for 2023, 2024. And it's so true. It's like it shocked you. This man have, this is prophecy. You talking about Marcus Darman. Dr. King was a prophet before his time, because what he's talking about is hurting me and you now. He's talking about the mass murder, the killing, the shooting, and men want to take off the table about, they want to take the law of God off the table. They want women to be men, they want men to be women, and want to teach it to the children. They want to do surgery for to become a homosexual. The Bible talk about that, but Dr. King, this letter, America, I got to play it. I got to play it because it tell what's going on.
Read to the people when they assemble themselves together and pass on to the other churches. I have labored with the translation for several days. At times it has been difficult, but now I think I have its substance. And if in giving this letter, the content sounds strangely Kingian rather than Paulinian, attributed to my lack of objectivity rather than Paul's lack of clarity. It is quite miraculous indeed that the Apostle Paul should be writing a letter to you and me 1900 years after his last letter appeared in the New Testament. How that is possible, I do not know. And I do not really care. The important thing is that I can imagine Paul speaking to us in 1956, speaking to American Christians. And here is the letter as it stands before me. I, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, to you who are in America, grace and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I had longed to be able to come to see you. I have heard of you and what you are doing. I have heard of the fascinating and astounding advances that you have made in the scientific and the material realm. I have heard of your aeroplanes. I have heard about the fact that through your scientific genius, you have been able to dwarf distance and place time in change. Yes, you have been able to carve highways through the stratosphere. And so in your world, you have made it possible to eat breakfast in London, England, and lunch in New York City. I have heard about your skyscraping buildings, with that tower steeping heavenward as if to bathe their peaks in the lofty blue. I have heard of your great medical science and all of your advances in the medical realm. So you have been able to cure many dread plagues and diseases, and thereby to prolong your life and bring about greater security and physical well-being. All of that is wonderful. You can do things now that could not be done in the Greco-Roman world of my day. You can make journeys now in one day that it took me 3 months to make. That is wonderful. You have gone a long, long way in material advances. But America, I am wondering, as I look at you from afar, whether or not you have gone as far in the spiritual and moral realm. Seems to me, America, that although you have advanced scientifically and materially, You lag behind spiritually and morally. Your fourth Thoreau used to talk about improved means to an unimproved end. And how true you have allowed the material means by which you live to outdistance the spiritual ends for which you live. You have allowed your mentality to outrun your morality. You have allowed your civilization to outdistance your culture. Yes, America, you go very high in the spiritual realm. I mean in the material realm. But how far have you gone in the moral realm? Through your scientific genius, you have been able to make of the world a neighborhood. But through your moral and spiritual genius, you have failed to make of it a brotherhood. And what does it profit a man? As that same Lord said, that same Lord that met me on the Damascus Road, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world of means, aeroplanes, subways, and all the skyscraping buildings and lose the end, the soul? So, America, I would urge you to seek to bring your spiritual advances up to your material advances. I am impelled also to write you concerning the tremendous responsibilities confronting Christians attempting to live in a sub-Christian age. Yes, I had to do that. For I had to live in an unchristian world. Every Christian has a basic responsibility to live a Christian in an unchristian world. They tell me that there are some among you, even in the churches, who give their ultimate allegiance to the patterns of the world. They want to be accepted socially. They are afraid to be ostracized, so they conform to the patterns of the world. They live by some such philosophy as this. Everybody is doing it, so it must be all right. And so often in your age, right has become merely something of taking a Gallup poll of the majority opinion. How many are living like that? How many people are giving their ultimate allegiance to this way? But America, may I say to you, as I said to the Roman church, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And may I also say to you that you have a dual citizenry. You have a twofold citizenry. You are not only a citizen of this world, but you are a citizen of another world. You live both in time and eternity, both in heaven and earth. You must come to see that although it is true that you live now in the colony of time, you must always take your orders from the empire of eternity. You must come to see that, America, that your ultimate allegiance is not to the government, not to the state, not to the nation, but your ultimate allegiance is to God, and sometimes it's necessary to speak out against the state in order to stand up for God. Oh, America, will you come to see this? But not only that, America, I have read some of your psychology. And I hear you talking a great deal about maladjustment. It is the ringing cry of the child psychologist, maladjusted. And certainly nobody wants to be maladjusted. Everybody wants to be adjusted. But America, I want to call upon you if you're going to be maladjusted. I never intend, America, to adjust myself to some things, and I hope you will never adjust to it. In an age amazingly adjusted to war, I call upon you to be maladjusted. In an age amazingly adjusted to imperialism and colonialism, I call upon you to be maladjusted. In an age amazingly adjusted to hate and malice, I call upon you to be maladjusted. My plea to you in America is to be maladjusted. I understand that you have a great economic system in America that you call capitalism. Through the economic system, you have been able to do wonders. You have been able to build up the richest nation in the world. Through that system, you have been able to build up the greatest productive system that the world has ever known. Oh, that's fine. But America, that is the danger that you will misuse your capitalism. I'm not an economist, and I cannot criticize your economic system from the point of view of the economist, but I can criticize it from a moral point of view. And I still contend, America, that money can be the root of all evil. Money can lead one to live a life of gross materialism. And I'm worried that too many people in America are more concerned about making a living than making a life. Yes, America, money can lead to exploitation. So often you have done that. For they tell me that 0.1% of the population controls more than 50% of the wealth. Oh, America, how you've taken necessities from the masses to give luxuries to the classes. Your capitalism can be used very well. You can use it to wipe poverty from the face of the earth. You can use it to lift the whole level of humanity. You can lift it to make mankind come to the point that it is destined to come to. Your wealth can be used to a noble end. You have it at your disposal. Use it for that, America. Oh, I would that I could be with you. I would that I could say to you face to face what I am trying to say to you in writing. How I long to be with you. But let me rush on and say something about the church. I must say to you once more, as I have said so often before, that the church is the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there can be no division. The body of Christ, there can be no disunity. But I'm disturbed about America and what is happening there concerning the body of Christ. They tell me that in America you have within Protestantism more than 256 denominations. And the tragedy, America, is not so much that you have more than 256 denominations, but the fact that all of these denominations are warring against each other, trying to make it appear that they have the only truth. Oh, this narrow sectarianism, this narrow denominationalism is destroying the unity of the church. America, you must come to see that God is not a Baptist, that God is not a Methodist, that God is not an Episcopalian. God is bigger than any of our denominations. You must come to see, America, that all of this is man-made. But even as I look at Roman Catholicism, I'm disturbed about that, because it stands out also with an arrogance which becomes a spiritual arrogance, making the world appear that it has the only truth, standing with its noble Pope almost taking the place of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when he speaks ex cathedra, he becomes infallible. I'm disturbed about any earthly creation that tends to claim infallibility. I'm disturbed about any church that refuses to cooperate with other churches with the pretense that it is the only true church. That is so much in the church that is destroying the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, there can be no division and no disunity. But America, another thing disturbs me about your church. You have a Negro church, and you have a white church. Oh, America, that is quite disturbing, for that cannot exist within the true body of Christ. How did that ever get into being anyway? You have allowed segregation to come into the church, America. Oh, how tragic. When you stand up on Sunday morning to sing, "In Christ there is no east or west," isn't it tragic that you stand in the most segregated hour of your Christian nation? They tell me there is more integration in sports arenas and nightclubs than there is in the Christian church. Oh, how tragic that is. How appalling that is. They tell me that there are even Christians among you who try to justify segregation on the basis of the Bible. They try to argue that the Negro is inferior by nature because of Noah's curse upon the children of Ham. Oh, my friends, all America, this is blasphemy. This is against everything that the Christian religion stands for. This is against the will of the Almighty God. In America, I would urge you to get rid of that something called segregation. It is a dangerous evil. It is an evil which must be wiped over the face of the earth if man is ever to come to his full maturity. America, don't compromise with it. Don't play with it. Oh, I praise your Supreme Court for passing a great decision just a year or two ago. I praise all men in your nation of goodwill who are willing to follow it. But they tell me you still have some brothers among you in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and Louisiana and Florida who would make that legislative calls ring loud with the words interposition and nullification. They have lost the true meaning of democracy and Christianity. And I would urge you to plead with your brothers with patience and understanding, goodwill, and tell them that this isn't the way. May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods and with Christian weapons. Never succumb to the temptation of becoming bitter. Never succumb to the temptation of indulging in hate campaigns. You must at all moments move with wise restraint and calm reasonableness. Keep pressing on, but press on with discipline and dignity, and use only the weapon of love, and let no man fool you so low as to hate him. Look at your oppressor hard enough to see in him something of God's image. Yes, it might be just a spark, but if you work on him long enough, it can develop into a leaping flame. So I would say to those of you who are warring and struggling against your oppressor to use Christian methods and Christian weapons and let him know that as you struggle, you are not attempting to defeat him, not attempting to humiliate him, not attempting to get rid of him or to pay him back. Let him know that you are seeking to help him as well as yourself. Let him know that the festering sword of segregation debilitates the white man as well as the Negro. Let him know that as you seek to rid the earth of this evil of segregation, you are seeking to help him also. Give that message all over the world and live by that principle and get rid of that something called segregation, America. For it is not only rationally inexplicable, but it is morally scandalous. You must get rid of it if you are to be a Christian nation. Yes, America, I realize that some of you will give your lives to this something. There will be white people of goodwill who will do it, and there will be Negroes who will struggle to get rid of it. But I want to say this to you, that as you struggle, don't despair. Realize that whenever you stand up for right and righteousness, whenever you stand up for truth, whenever you stand up for goodness, you will be persecuted, but don't despair about it. Sometimes it might mean going to jail, but if that is the case, be willing to fill up the jail, because I had to go to jail. It might even mean physical death. The physical death is the price that some have paid to free their children from a life of permanent psychological death. Then nothing could be more honorable. Don't worry about the persecutions, America. You are going to have that if you stand for truth and goodness. Oh, that happened throughout my life. As soon as I was converted, I was denied by the disciples at Jerusalem. Then I was later tried for heresy at Jerusalem. Yes, I was beaten at Thessalonica. I was mobbed at Ephesus. I was jailed at Philippi. And I went down to Athens and I was depressed there. Yes, I was even shipwrecked in Malta. But I'm still going. And I still believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. I still believe that in standing up for the gospel of Jesus, nothing in the world is greater. This is the end of life. This is the end of the universe. The end of the universe is not to be happy. The end is not to avoid suffering, but the end of life is to do the will of God, come what may. Oh, America, will you hear that and will you follow that before it is too late? Then I must say one other thing. You know, I said to the church at Corinth that love is the principal thing, and I want to still say that to America. America, I want you to know that you might move high in the world. You might come to the point that you are mighty eloquent in your speech. You might master the English language. All of your grammar might be perfect. You might move high. You might move with all of the eloquence of an articulate speech. But I want you to realize, America, that it is still true that even if you can speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, you are become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Yes, America, you may have the gift of prophecy. So that you can understand all mysteries, you may have scientific insights. So that you can break out into the storehouse of nature. Yes, America, you might have all of the mysteries and understand them so that you can remove the mountains of material obstacles. You may move all of the mountains that stand before you. But unless you have love, it means nothing. But even more, America, you may give your goods to feed the poor. You might tower high in philanthropy. You may give great gifts to the United Appeal. You may give great gifts to your colleges and universities. You may give big money. But if you have not love, it means nothing. Yes, and you may even give your body to be burned. You may even stand up and die life as a mocker. You may stand before the universe as that honorable person who was willing to stand up as a martyr. But even if you do that and you have no love, it means nothing. Yes, America, it is possible to be self-disciplined and one in denial and the right writer and self-right. It is possible for one ungenerous in order to feed his ego, and it is possible for one to be pious in order to feed his pride. And so man has the tragic capacity of being able to negate a heightening vice to a tragic, a heightening virtue to a tragic vice. Yes, even if you give your goods to feed the poor, have not love, it means nothing. You may build all of your great institutions. You may have all knowledge. You may build your great Harvard and your great Yale. You may have all of your institutions of learning and all of your PhDs and MAs and ABs. But if you have not love, America, it means nothing. I still want you to know that love is the principal thing in the universe. I want you to know that at the center of life stands love and that it is the most durable in the world. If you follow that, America, you will build a great nation. I must get ready to leave now. Timothy sent me to deliver this letter, and I must take leave to go to another church. But just before leaving, let me say this to you, America. I've said a lot to you about loving. I've said a lot to you about being moral and living noble principles. And I know that you all are right. But I want to say something to you about the meaning of the gospel. In trying to live up to the high and noble principles of this religion, you often fall short. And I know how you felt sometimes. You tried to live up to it and you didn't quite make it. Sometimes you felt that you could do it alone, but the more you tried, the more you discovered that you couldn't do it alone. And I know how you are caught up in the tragic dimensions of sin, both individual and collective. I see how, as you live life, on every level of your life, you're confronted with sin, and sometimes you have to cry out, as I have to cry out, the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. Then as you try to follow the law of love, you find yourself saying, oh, wretched man that I am. You discover somehow that the more you try, the more you discover that you can't do it alone. Oh, you end up in despair. You end up in a tragic state. You feel that you have lost out. Yes, I have been like that. When I came to that point, when I came to the point of feeling that I couldn't make it alone, when I came to the point of realizing that I was too weak to make it, I discovered something else. I reached out and saw breaking out of eternity into time the powerful dimensions of God's grace. And where sin abounded, grace abounded even more exceedingly. So I want to say to you, America, reach out. If you reach far enough, you will discover God's grace. It is that grace that can...
Things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing stand in your way. I want you to listen, listen
to every word I say, every word I say.
Ain't no stopping us now.
And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold.